Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Truckers Podcast, FYI. I'm your host, Doug, from Ontario, Canada. It is 8:32 a.m. here on the 10th of March. Daylight savings time weekend. Put your clocks forward 1 hour. You know, talking about that for a second, I was setting this show up for today to have it start at 8:30 in the morning. So click on schedule, click on 8:30, submit it, and the time said 9:30. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, no, I'm pretty sure I said 8:30. And I went back, put 8:30, submit it, comes up 9:30. And then I'm thinking, this is daylight savings. Set it for 7:30, it'll be 8:30. That's what I had to do. Or otherwise, I would have said 9:30. So I hope everybody's had a good weekend. It's a little bit cooler today here in Ontario. A little bit of snow on the ground. Not very much. Spring is just around the corner. Another 10 days. So anyway, I don't know why that just popped up the way it did. That's concerning to me. But here we are still. I don't know why that changed my screen. It shouldn't have. Yeah, there we go. Look at that. So, obesity in Canada. Our statistics and the facts. And it's not too far off and it's surprising actually. Now, although obesity in Canada has not reached the same levels of obesity in the United States, Canada still has a higher prevalence of obesity than other similarly wealthy and developed countries. Rates of obesity in Canada have steadily increased in recent years, making obesity one of the country's biggest health problems. Being overweight or obese increases the risk of developing a number of serious health conditions, including high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, stroke, and certain types of cancers. In addition, the financial cost to a country of having a large overweight or obese population can be substantial. For an example, one study estimated that annual productivity cost from disability due to obesity in Canada was at $11.8 billion in 2019. Wonder what that is right now in 2024. In 2022, there were over 10 million people in Canada who were overweight and 8.7 million who were obese. We have a population of 40 million people. And that means that 35% of the population was overweight here in Canada, and 30% was obese. Men in Canada are much more likely than women to be overweight. However, rates of obesity are similar for both men and women, with those aged 50 to 64 years of age have the highest rates of obesity among all age groups in Canada. And while the younger population, or younger people, age 18 to 34, report the lowest rates of being overweight and obese, although the genetic factors can influence body weight and other adults can be more susceptible to obesity. And obesity is most often simply caused by eating too many calories and not exercising enough. So genetic factors, our parents, their parents, eating too many calories, high in saturated fat, salt, sugar, and so on. The regional differences, even though obesity is an increasing problem across Canada, there are significant regional differences in how obese the population is. The Canadian provinces with the highest prevalence of rates of obesity are New Brunswick and Newfoundland and Labrador, while Quebec and British Columbia have the lowest rates. And in 2022, around 43% of the population of New Brunswick was thought to be obese, compared to like 25.5% of people in British Columbia. New Brunswick and Newfoundland and Labrador are also the provinces with the highest percentage of adolescents who are overweight or obese. In a total, around 30% of adolescents in Canada are estimated to be overweight or obese. That's alarming. Now, when we look at the world, and there are many key facts, and in 2022, this is only, 2 years ago, 1 in 8 people in the world were living with obesity. Worldwide adult obesity has more than doubled since the 1990s, and adolescent obesity has quadrupled. And in 2022, 2.5 billion adults 18 years or older were overweight. And of these, 890 million were living with obesity. In 2022, 43% of adults aged 18 years and over were overweight, and 16% were living with obesity. And in 2022, 37 million children under the age of 5 were overweight, and over 390 million children and adolescents aged 5 to 19 were overweight in 2022, including 160 million who were living with obesity. Obesity is a chronic complex disease. It's defined by excessive fat deposits that can impair your health. Obesity can lead to increased risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease. It can affect bone health and reproduction. It increases the risk of certain cancers. Obesity influences quality of living, such as sleeping and moving. The diagnosis of overweight and obesity is made by measuring people's weight and height by calculating the body mass index, so that's the BMI. So that so we look at the causes of overweight and obesity. Overweight and obesity results from the imbalance of energy intake, diet, energy expenditures, physical activities. So in most cases, obesity is a multifactorial disease due to the environments, the psychosocial factors, and genetic variants. Common health consequences. And these health risks caused by overweight and obesity are increasingly well documented and understood in the medical field. In 2019, higher than the optimal BMI caused an estimated 5 million deaths from the non-communicable disease, such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancers, neurological disorders, chronic respiratory disease, and digestive disorders. Being overweight in childhood and the adolescence affects children and adolescents' immediate health and associated with a greater risk of early onset of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, neurological disorders, chronic respiratory diseases, digestive disorders. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Doug, from Ontario, Canada. So the childhood and the adolescence obesities have adverse psychological consequences that affect school performance, quality of life, compounded by stigma, discrimination, and bullying. Children with obesity are very likely to be adults with obesity and are also at a higher risk of developing heart disease, diabetes, chronic respiratory diseases, and other cancers. We look at the economic impacts of obesity, the epidemic are also important. If nothing is done, the global cost of overweight and obesity are predicted to reach US dollars $3 trillion by the year 2030, and more than $18 trillion by 2060. The rise in obesity rates in low and middle income countries, including among lower socioeconomic groups, is fast globalizing a problem that was once associated with high income countries. When we look at facing the double burden of malnutrition, and many low and middle income countries face a so-called double burden of malnutrition, and these countries continue to deal with these problems of infectious diseases and undernutrition, they are also experiencing a rapid upsurge in non-communicable disease risks, such as obesity and overweight. Children in low and middle income countries are more vulnerable to inadequate prenatal, infant, and young child nutrition. And at the same time, these children are exposed to high fat, high sugar, high salt, energy gent, micronutrient poor foods, which tend to be lower in cost, but also lower in nutrient quality. And these dietary patterns, in conjunction with low levels of physical activity, result in sharp increases in childhood obesity, while undernutrition issues remain unsolved. Overweight and obesity, as well as other related non-communicable diseases, are largely preventable and manageable. At the individual level, people may be able to reduce the risk by adopting preventative interventions at each step of their life cycle, starting from preception to continuing during the early years, ensure appropriate weight gain during pregnancy, practice exclusive breastfeeding in the first 6 months after birth, and continue breastfeeding until 24 months or beyond. Support behaviors of children around healthy eating, physical activity, sedentary behaviors, and sleep, regardless of current weight and status. Here's a big one. Limit screen time. That goes without saying. I mean, in the world of technology that we live in, and the screen time that kids are on, I see less kids around in neighborhoods. I grew up in the 60s. There was no such thing as the internet, video games, computers, cell phones. Didn't exist. Outside was the playground. In today's society, inside is the playground. We also want to try to limit the consumption of sugar, sweetened beverages, and energy-dense foods, and promote other healthy eating behaviors. A healthy diet, physical activity, sleep duration, and of course, as adults, avoid tobacco and alcohol, emotional self-regulation, limit energy intake from total fats and sugars, and increase consumption of fruits and vegetables. And in the journals of medicine, this comes up every single time. Limit it, reduce it, don't eat it. All these fats and sugars that, you know, they increase consumption, we have to increase the consumption of fruit and vegetables. Canada's Health Guide, Food Health Guide, 2019. Is I don't know, I guess you could say that, Basically whole foods, more vegetables, more fruit. Whole food, plant-based. This Canada's food health guide was changed to that in 2019. Whole food, plant-based. Completely remove dairy. Removed it from the food health guide completely. Whole food, plant-based. Eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, as well as legumes, whole grains, and nuts, and engage in regular physical activity. Our health practitioners assess the weight and height of people, assessing the health facilities, provide counseling on healthy diet and lifestyles. No, what they do is they give you prescriptions. They also, when a diagnosis of obesity is established, provide integrated obesity prevention and management health services, including on healthy diet. Physical activity and medical and surgical measures if necessary. And monitor their disease risks, the blood glucose, the lipids, and blood pressure, and assess the presence of the comorbidities and disabilities, including mental health disorders. The dietary and physically activity patterns for individuals, people who are largely the result of the environmental and societal conditions that greatly constrain personal choice. Obesity is a societal rather than an individual responsibility, and with the solution to be found through the creation of supportive environments and communities that embedded healthy diets and regular physical activity as the most accessible, available, and affordable behaviors of daily life. Now, stopping the rise of obesity demands the multisectoral actions such as food manufacturing, marketing, pricing, and others that seek to address the wider determinants of health, such as poverty reduction and urban planning. So when we're marketing, you know, and the advertisements, you know, and for, you know, when we look at cereals targeted towards children, have all those funny characters on the cereal box, you know, Lucky Charms, you know, just to name one, you know, absolute no nutritional value whatsoever. And high in sugar. When it comes to making food pricing, we need to make the food affordable for all. poverty reduction. How do we do this? We need to lift people out of poverty. We need to have a sustainable wage that then goes along with inflation. And to keep up so that people can live. As, you know, it's not just about buying healthy food. The healthy environment that we live in, the healthy communities that we live in. Being able to afford the rent that you're able to pay, that is not going to be more than 30% of your income. I don't even know how to define middle class. What is middle class wage? Is that 90,000, 60 to 90,000 a year? Is that middle class? Well, middle class can't even afford to buy a house. I can tell you right now, to be able to buy a house in the city that I reside here in Ontario, you're going to have to be making $150,000 a year. Try this again. Okay, it's not connecting. Okay, anyways, I'm just going to carry on here. So, of course, you know, with the marketing and everything else like that, you know, with all the ultra processed foods being at lower costs, you know, all the additives and preservatives put into these foods, high in sugar, high in saturated fats, low dense nutrition. The food industry can play a significant role in promoting healthy diets by reducing the fat, sugar, and salt content of these highly processed foods, ensuring the healthy and nutrition choices are available and affordable to all consumers. Because we have the suppliers, of course, right? The food industry. We have the buyers, the grocery stores. And then we have the consumer. And when the purchasers of the grocery stores have to pay more money for that product, it's going to pass it on to the consumer. Restricting marketing of foods high in sugar, salt, and fats, especially those foods aimed at children and teenagers. It's making, you know, these foods that are aimed at children and teenagers. I mean, they're making billions, not millions, they're making billions. And the health risks that goes along with it. Ensuring the availability of healthy food choices and supporting regular physical activity practice in the workplace, but even at home with your kids. Getting outside, we have an abundance of parks and walking paths and trails. And all of other outdoor activities that we can be doing outdoors. The World Health Organization recognizes the need to tackle the global obesity crisis in an urgent manner for many years. And the World Health Organization Assembly Global Nutrition Targets aiming to assure no increase in childhood overweight, halt the rise of diabetes and obesity by 2025, and WHO endorsed by the WHO member states, they recognize that the accelerated global actions is needed to address the pervasive and corrosive problems of the double burden of malnutrition. We need to adopt new recommendations, probably, for the prevention and management of obesity. And the WHO has also accelerated a plan to stop obesity. Since its endorsement, the acceleration plan has shaped the political environments to generate the needed for sustainable change, create platforms to shape, streamline, support, every country and drive the impact and strengthen accountability on national and global levels. The United States is ranked 12th. In overweight and obesity in the world. Going back to Canada for a moment. Obesity in Canada. I started at the top of the show. So a little bit more about this. So although obesity in Canada has not reached the same levels of the obesity in the United States, Canada still has a higher prevalence of obesity than other similarly wealthy and developed countries. While we have a population of 40 million, the United States is probably around 390 million people, almost 10 times the population of Canada. So Canada's obesity rate has steadily increased in recent years, and making obesity one of the country's biggest health problems. So this is in 2022, there were over 10 million people in Canada who were overweight and 8.7 million who were obese. So that means almost 35% of the population was overweight and 30% was obese. I think, it comes down to individuals too. I mean, we all have a responsibility, because your health is on you. But, when it comes to the social economics of poverty, people who are on social assistance, people who are on disability, people in low wage paying jobs. People who are on disability, it's not their fault they're on disability. Some people who go on social assistance are waiting to get on disability. But then there are people who are on social assistance who are capable and they can find a job. maybe retraining. Maybe they don't have the grade 12, they have to get the grade 12. We have adult education that you can get your grade 12. Get the credits that you need to get your grade 12 and maybe hopefully have higher marks enough to go into college or university. Low wages, you know, the minimum wage here in Canada is now $16.65. What's that going to get you? It's not going to get you a place to live. I don't know if we come up with a standard wage countrywide, $25 an hour. Affordability is $60,000 a year. That's gross pay. So after taxes, you'd be living on $45,000 a year. In today's market, is that enough to buy a home? Like I said earlier, in the city that I reside in, you'd have to be making $150,000 a year to be able to buy a house. $60,000 a year isn't going to cut it. Anything less than that, you're going to be struggling paying rent. Try to find rent anywhere right now, even for a one-bedroom apartment under $1,500 a month, is not going to happen. Never mind being able to put food on the table. Never mind being able to put nutritional food on the table. The annual productivity cost from disability due to obesity in Canada was 11.8 billion Canadian dollars in 2019. This is 2024. That's probably going to be well over 12 billion. The annual productivity cost from disability due to obesity. And this was really surprising to me too, that I mentioned earlier. The regional differences and the difference in how obese the population is in the Canadian provinces with the highest prevalence of rates of obesity are New Brunswick, Newfoundland and Labrador, and while Quebec and British Columbia have the lowest rates. In 2022, around 43% of the population of New Brunswick was thought to be obese, compared to 25.5% of people in British Columbia, New Brunswick, and Newfoundland and Labrador were also the provinces with the highest percentage of adolescents who are overweight or obese. So around 30% of adolescents in Canada are estimated to be overweight or obese. guess, you know, for personal, you know, I guess you'd have to and if you can, I mean, what can we eliminate, you know, out of our diet that's not healthy? For those who can do that, but that's not helping. But, you know, when it comes to affordability, because that, you know, that's not really going to change much, because we still have the problem, you know, we still have that, the lower incomes and the disabilities, whether it's physical or mental. The marketing really needs to change, like I mentioned with the World Health Organization. But people in the higher socioeconomics have a better opportunity in order to address their health than people on the lower spectrum. Sad reality is that we're always going to have people on the lower spectrum. We're always going to have people on social assistance. We're always going to have people on disability. I don't see that changing anytime soon. People on low wage, I don't see that changing anytime soon. So these numbers are just going to get worse. And by saying that, because of the social economics, poor health, poor nutrition really plays a role in how we learn. I mean, but for those out there, I guess, I mean, if you can set personal goals, you can set personal goals. For those who are able to do that. I mean, that's if you want to, right? If you feel you're overweight, or you know that you're obese, you know that you have health issues, you know that you have to consult a doctor. Especially if you have heart disease, diabetes. Maybe other cancers caused by the foods that we eat. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. For those of us in the world who, you know, who are neither overweight or obese, I mean, I guess we can consider ourselves lucky. Growing up, you know, for me, We weren't well off. My dad went to work. Mom stayed home. We got 8 kids. It's not like we went to McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's all the time. going out to restaurants and eating and stuff like that, it was all home cooked meals. Yes, it was the meat and potato diet and vegetables. We couldn't afford to do any of that stuff. Dad worked to keep a roof over our heads, clothes on our backs, food in our stomach. There was nothing else. We'd go out on our own, you know, graduate high school or college, you know, we'd get a job. And, you know, of course, you know, going out eating McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and stuff like that. Well, Burger King wasn't even in Canada back in the 70s. McDonald's was. Wendy's wasn't. McDonald's was. But, you know, then you just, you know, you're going, you know, eating stuff like that. Of course, pizza is prevalent, obviously, but still. We didn't, it wasn't, you know, Dad worked hard all week and he comes home Friday with three extra large pizzas to feed eight kids. That never happened. You know, that was a once in a while treat. You know, same with Kentucky Fried Chicken, that was once in a while treat. If I was out with my dad and he was driving around running errands and we drive by McDonald's, I go, oh, McDonald's. He goes, yep, and he keeps driving. But then he explains to me, he says, if I have to stop and get you McDonald's, then I have to pick up McDonald's for everybody else. He says, I'm not about to do that. You know, I talked a little bit yesterday, you know, a little bit about myself. You know, I'm not a big guy. I'm only 5'5". Just a little over 2 years ago, I was nearly 150 pounds. And today, I'm around 127 to 128 pounds. And over the 2 years and a bit, I eliminated all the ultra-processed foods, all the junk food, you know, chips and cookies and chocolates and donuts and all the baked goods you can think of. Once in a while, I would have a Wendy's burger. But generally, I don't. Right? So eliminating Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, all that junk food from those restaurants. But I can honestly sit here and tell you that, no, it wasn't easy. You know, we have food addictions. But when I started eliminating things, I didn't cave. I go to my favorite coffee shop, you know, Tim Hortons is a staple in Canada, coffee donut shop. I go in there, I get a coffee and I walk out. The donut display is right in front of your face. And it doesn't even faze me. I look at that case full of donuts, all I see is sugar. I once loved donuts. And of course, the breakfast sandwiches. You know, McDonald's, the Egg McMuffin, and that so-called sausage substance meat, and the cheese and bacon. You know, it's fast, it's convenient, go through the drive-thru. You know, it's this stuff that, you know, like I said, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to go through the elimination process. You have to start with something. You have to start with something. You have to eliminate something, you know, to begin to get any benefits out of not eating it. And then you go through the next elimination of what you want to cut out. You have to crawl before you can walk. So you go to the grocery store and you know, you're buying chips and cookies and other baked goods. Well, you have, you know, even before we get to go into the grocery store, I mean, we're looking at what we have to buy, we're looking at our budget and all those like that. And then, you know, we have to start that elimination process. I mean, if we want to get healthier, we have to start that elimination process. What am I not going to bring home today? What is not going to go in the cupboards? Maybe we can start with the potato chips. Sorry, kids, don't have any chips. But the other problem is we still have the other junk food coming in. All the baked goods and other stuff. But then we have to start eliminating that. Or at least cutting back on it considerably. So we have to start the elimination process. And that's what I did. I just, one step at a time, and starting the elimination process of saying, okay, I'm not going to eat this. This is not coming into the house. And then the next item, I'm not going to eat this, is not coming into the house. That worked for me. I never really had, like growing up, you know, with so many kids in the household and stuff like that. So when it comes to milk, we had powdered milk. It was powdered. You add water to it. Pour that on your cereal. I'm a kid. I don't know what that, you know, is it good for me? I don't know. So I never drank milk from the cow. Too many kids to feed. Yeah, we had cereal like everybody else. Cereal wasn't any better than it is today. Inexpensive. Got lots of kids to feed. Kids got to have breakfast. But I think some of the difference too is that, you know, We weren't there was no such thing as screen time. And television we had 13 channels and with nothing on. We were outside. All day, every day. Was running around at the public pool, riding our bicycles. We are outside, and maybe that's sort of the kind of the difference too, right? And of course, you know, Dad not bringing home a lot of junk food, even when it came to chips. That was once in a while. That was a treat. But today, you know, with screen time, you know, with kids and teenagers, it's not just people who are on the lower spectrum of the socioeconomics. Even in the middle class. I mean, does obesity and overweight, you know, is it bias? Can be, I guess. You know, but even people with middle class incomes still eating all that junk food. The hustle and bustle of today's world and today's life and how much you got to do every single day. Middle class people are still bringing all this stuff into the household. Middle class people are going through the drive-thrus at McDonald's getting their breakfast sandwiches every single day. Bringing home donuts every single day, eating donuts every single day, eating all that stuff that is absolutely not any good for us. It's not just, like I say, it's not just the people on the lower end of the spectrum. You know, then what are the wealthy eating? Was there different food for the wealthy? No, the food's the same. We have the bad food that's bad for us and the good food that's good for us. And I'm pretty sure they eat some of the bad food as well. Maybe not as much. Probably not as much. But still, they eat it. You know, basically, you know, all I can say is that try to do your best. Talk to your doctor. You know, and just try, you know, just try the elimination process. Try eliminating one thing. Doesn't mean elimination, like, you know, like stopping it immediately. But if you go get your breakfast sandwich today, you know, with the egg and cheese and bacon on it, don't do that for a couple of days. You know, getting off of, you know, a food addiction is like getting off of tobacco. It's not easy. But we have to try to do something, right? For your own health. For your family's health. And that's, you know, when so using the elimination process, it worked for me, but, you know, it takes time. Yeah, you might teeter the other way. I did too. I mean, this wasn't boom, that's it. That's not, you know, yeah, you know, kind of went back to it, you know, nope, can't have it. You know, it was like trying to quit smoking. You say, okay, I'm not going to smoke for a couple of hours. I'm not going to smoke for 3 hours, stuff like that. But then, you know, in between those, say 1 to 3 hours, you're going to have a cigarette. You know, some people are just able to just quit cold turkey and that's it. You know, if you're able to quit cold turkey of eating potato chips, great. Or cookies or other pastries or whatever. I mean, that would be great. But just try, you know, just try the elimination process and just work at it the best way you can. You know, do the best that you can. You know, and hopefully too that, you know, it helps lessen the cost of groceries, because just imagine all that junk food in the grocery cart on top of everything else you're trying to eat that is, you know, supposedly good for you. You know, when it comes to, you know, eating, you know, I mean, they're not saying, okay, everybody has to be a vegan. You know, that's not what, you know, just eating, you know, whole food, plant-based. Canada's Food Guide, when it comes to Canada's Food Guide, 2019, half the plate should be fruit and vegetables. Right? And then obviously protein. Well, I mean, so you're gonna eat meat. Okay, you're gonna have some red meat, you're gonna have steak. Well, that piece of steak should be no bigger than a bar of soap. Like the one that your mother would put in your mouth for swearing. It should be no bigger than a bar of soap. And then other proteins in beans and lentils and so on, and legumes. Have a salad every day. But be careful of the dressings you're putting on that too, because, you know, look at the ingredients. You know, look at the sugar content and maybe the additives and preservatives and stuff like that. My go-to dressing is balsamic. You know, even when it comes to chicken, you know, because you're not going to eat red meat every single day. Even when it comes to chicken, should be no more bigger than a bar of soap. A pork chop should no bigger than a bar of soap. Watch your dairy intake too, because milk is high in saturated fats and sugar. Cheese is full of sodium. And unfortunately, I was reading an article the other day about the vegan cheese, and it's all full of sodium. And vegan cheese is supposed to be non-dairy, it's supposed to be healthier for you, but it's high in sodium. It's like, what the hell? So we gotta, you know, watch our intake of sodium and salt and sugar. Foods that are, you know, deep fried, you know, your French fries, your hash browns, your chicken wings. You know, even the favorite pub you go to. To watch a sporting event. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor about the elimination process. You can start there by talking to your doctor about the elimination process of eliminating, you know, all the chips, all the cookies, all the donuts, all the McDonald's, all the Burger King, Wendy's, all that stuff. Talk to your doctor about it. Well, that's the show for today here on the 10th of March. Did you put your clocks forward 1 hour? Because that's the day that it is. Spring forward. And did you get enough sleep? You know, because you lose an hour of sleep. I feel okay today. I don't feel any different than I did yesterday before the clocks changed. I don't know, it affects everybody differently, I guess. I don't know. Biologically, you know, our biological clocks get kind of screwed up, I guess, they say. I don't know. I never really, you know, thought about it. I mean, has it really affected me? I don't know. I'll put that into perspective of anything, you know. I just go to bed and wake up and, you know, go on with my day. So if you haven't changed your clocks, and if you do change your clocks, change your clocks. So you're not late for work tomorrow. Or you're not late for an engagement today. Whatever you're going to be doing today. But whatever it is, and enjoy it. And till the next time, like right now, I can do weekend podcasts. My week is so unpredictable on time. I mean, I can say, sure, I'll be out here at 7 o'clock Monday night, or I'll be out here Monday night at 8 p.m. You know, my job, you know, unfortunately predicts the time when I'm going to get home. When I'm done, I'm done. So that's why I'm sticking to the weekends right now. So Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings. So that's what I can do. So until next Saturday morning, and of course we're always going to, you know, focus on, you know, talk about, you know, health and wellness, and what are the, you know, professionals are talking about, like, you know, what the doctors are talking about, you know, when it comes to our health and wellness. And of course, what we can do about it, or at least try to do about it anyway, you know. And if need be, with the help of a healthcare professional. So have a good week, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for joining me. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And yeah, take care. I'm your host, Doug, from Ontario, Canada. This is the Truckers Podcast, FYI.